Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is written in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 15 to 19. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even though over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. So far our text. Christ Jesus, our dear Savior, dearly beloved of God, varieties, the spice of life. Probably heard the expression. The idea behind that expression is that life would be pretty boring if everything were the same all the time. Doing and seeing different things makes life more enjoyable, more interesting. I mean, just imagine what it would be like to live in a world where everybody had the same personality. Or if weeks went by on the calendar and months and you walked outside, it was always 70 and sunny. Some might say that'd be great, but changes of seasons are nice, I think. What if all the members of a Christian congregation possessed identical gifts? How would the church's work get done? And so we thank our Lord for His wisdom and love in bestowing variety of talents, contrasting skills to His people, whether teaching, leading, giving, behind the scenes, helping, and so forth, for the profit of all of His people. But you know what the greatest and most wonderful contrast is, and so essential for our eternal blessedness? It's the contrast that Paul presents in our text between the first Adam, whose disobedience brought sin and death to all people of the world, and the one referred to in Scripture as the second or the last Adam, Jesus, whose obedience brought righteousness and life to all the people of the world. God bless our consideration this morning of this oh so blessed contrast. Story of the first Adam, recorded in the book of Genesis. We read a portion of it earlier. Moses informs us there how the Lord God formed the very first human being from the dust of the soil, creating him in His image, which means possessing perfect righteousness and true holiness, just like His. He breathed into the first Adam's nostrils the breath of life so that he became a living soul. He put him in Eden's lovely garden to take care of it and gave that command. You may eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because when you eat of it, you will surely die. Tragically, as we heard, the first Adam succumbed to Satan's dastardly temptation when he said, "You will not really die." First Adam was deceived into disobeying that command of the Lord. And the moment he did so, the loving fellowship that he enjoyed with God, the harmonious relationship he had with his benevolent Creator, was wrecked. The gift of righteousness, true holiness that he possessed, in which he had been created, was gone. And he was destined to die. And not only die temporally, you know, temporal death, a physical death that happens when a person's heart stops beating and brain waves start cease functioning, when their soul becomes separated from their body, but also spiritual death, which is the separation of a person's spirit from God, so that they enjoy no loving relationship, no connection to Him whatsoever. And worst of all, the only death that nobody can recover from, eternal death, which is the separation of a person's body and soul from God in hell for all eternity. And as Paul points up here in our text, it wasn't just Adam who suffered that, but all of his future progeny suffered the same awful fate. We read a few chapters later, very interesting, in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, that when Adam begot children, they were born not in God's holy image, but in Adam's sinful image, experiencing all the dreadful consequences that went along with it. As the Lord had said to the first Adam back in Genesis 3, "Because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for you. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Work won't always be pleasant and easy, but hard and involving blood, sweat, and tears. "Until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." But now let us, friends, consider the glorious contrast Paul presents here between the first Adam and the second or last Adam, Jesus, which Paul describes here so beautifully and quite extensively. Verse 15, I'll reread some of these verses from our text. "The free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, Adam's sin, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Next, verse 16, "If by the one man's offense, Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, the second Adam, Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." Verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." So Paul provides here, it's like a commentary on what happened in the beginning, showing the universal effects, yes, of Adam's failure, the first Adam, his failing the tests of his heavenly sonship to his heavenly Father, passing on his failure to all of his progeny, condemning them to sin and death. But then God sent another son in human flesh to be the son Adam had not been, to obey God where Adam had failed. The obedience of this second Adam also had as wide an effect as the disobedience of the first Adam. He would give his victory to all, declare all righteous before God, and bring life to all. Wow, it's quite a contrast, wouldn't you say? Friends, this is the heart and core of the gospel message of the Bible, which is so comforting and so joyous. And we confess it in the Apostles' Creed every week. May it not be for us just rote recitation, but thinking about the deep and wonderful meaning of it, that I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day rose again from the dead, sitting at God's right hand now, ruling all things for our good. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. That's you, those who put their trust in the second Adam, the forgiveness of sins. We're confessing our Christian faith in that those words of the Apostles' Creed, and it's based very solidly on texts like the one that is before us today, very solidly on sacred scripture, that our holy and righteous God took it upon himself in love to restore his holy image to us, which we had lost through the fall into sin. He sent a descendant of the first Adam to our world to live a life of perfect obedience, which we could not. He had that second Adam offer his perfect life of obedience on the cross into death as a ransom to abolish death for us and bring life and immortality to us. And a significant feature of this text worth highlighting, again, immensely comforting, notice how Jesus' work is presented, the work of the second Adam, which he carried through to perfection, spoken of as being carried out for all. Again, verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So the blessings of God's pardoning grace, of his righteousness, of life restored, are not limited to a particular segment of the world's population, but for all the citizens of earth, all nationalities, all languages, people of every skin color, from the time that Adam lived on earth until the day that God causes the final curtain to fall on the stage of world history, all without exception have been granted blanket pardon for their sins, declared righteous, teaching of justification for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not charging their sins against them. 1 John 2:2, he, that is Christ himself, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for just part of the world, for the whole world. It's true, friends, of course, that not all people will eventually be saved. Why not? Because, well, sadly, they have not believed that all of this is true. The scriptures teach faith is like the hand that grabs hold of the gifts God has acquired for all the citizens of earth. Sadly, not all have that faith. Which underscores a number of points, and with this we will conclude this morning. The importance of praying for those who are sharing the message of the gospel, for our missionaries, that the gospel may spread swiftly through them, that the Lord would use the word that they speak to kindle faith in the hearts who do not believe. Also of praying that the Lord would send out more gospel missionaries, more pastors, more teachers into his harvest field to gather in precious souls for Christ through the preaching of the word, and that he would use the word that we share with others to help them to anchor their hopes in Christ, or if they already trust in him, to latch on to him even more firmly in faith. Lord, lead them to reach out with the hand of faith and grasp the gifts that you've acquired for them too. And last but not least, what reason you and I have to praise our God for his gracious work of blessing us with faith by the power of his word, to know that the Jesus who lived on earth 2,000 years ago, who fended off all those temptations of Satan in the desert, who lived, died, rose again, did it all to bring me his righteousness, to restore life to me, which I had lost, so that I may look forward to living in a place that will be, talking about contrast, a stark contrast to the sin-infested, trouble-filled world we live in now, namely the new heaven and the new earth, which Scripture calls the home of righteousness, where we will live with the Lord our righteousness, and with Adam and Eve and all those who have gone on before, anchoring their hopes in him. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And be a clean heart, O God, and renew our right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.